WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
It's me, it's me, it's that D-O-double-G Marvin once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
I come with glad tidings.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
A warm light for all mankind.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Why the hell should I take orders from you?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Living legend who kind of lives up to the legend.
The Omega.
A man with breathtaking anger management issues.
Heartbreak Mike.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Do I look to be in a gaming mood?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're dealing with forces you can't control.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
The humans think us immortal.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Becky Baylor.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park? Is everything a joke to you?
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. One more eventful week in the world of professional wrestling. We have a lot to talk about, so we will get right into it. This is Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network, joining me tonight. No, he's late. Well, we might have a Heartbreak Mike later. So I guess for now it is just myself and the one and only Tim Stein.
I'm back. Back with a vengeance. I'm mostly here.
The only two men on this network who actually know an N64 game when they see it.
God damn straight. How the hell does Tony Hawk beat Resident Evil, Omega?
Granted, the N64 version had to cut corners. It was still good. Better than Tony Hawk.
I mean, oh my god. Who did this dumb list anyway?
What, who put it together or who you
voted on it? How many people voted on it?
Between the four and five people.
Okay, you have between 3.5 and 4.5 morons.
So does that mean we're going with this to start the show?
It is time for the Greater Than Great Debate.
Your timer starts now. You can go through the list and do it correctly. You got an hour.
What the hell was that?
I already did it.
That's our Greater Than Great Debate intro.
Well, hang on a second. Just ask Omega what the name of his list is.
No, we already announced that last night what his list name was. But what is it, Omega?
It is The Correct Choices.
In the mind of Omega.
Yeah, the guy who makes money as a critic who's played most of those games.
As someone who's played maybe one of those games for an hour, it's a thing? It can't be held responsible.
Road Rash is dog shit.
Road Rash is awesome.
Dog shit.
It's an awesome game.
It's boring as fuck playing by yourself, the graphics are terrible, and the music's repetitive. Dog shit.
That's like voting E.T. the Extraterrestrial the best Atari game ever.
Oh, God, don't you ever start.
Too late. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. There's a huge story about the game was so bad, who put it out, Acclaim, I think, they actually took every single copy available and buried it. Every single copy of that video game that didn't sell, which was 99% of them, they buried them in a landfill.
Well, here's the thing. That was always the urban legend, is that they had to recall like 3 million cartridges and bury the whole thing out in a desert in Arizona. And no one, like, it was just like the weirdest thing. Like, everyone heard about that, like, even before the internet. That was the rumor. That was the urban legend. And it's true!
It is! It's absolutely
kind of.
This is on a scale of the Curse of Oak Island, for crying out loud.
Now, it wasn't 3 million. Like, they lost a ton of money on that game. Cause that was supposed to be a huge game and it was a complete failure. But it wasn't 3 million cartridges. Like, and they found like a whole bunch of other unsold Atari shit in there. But still.
Absolutely.
Like, people own ET cartridges that were buried in the Arizona desert.
My God. And what's really funny is they found the cash and they are now have actually salvaged a few of the cartridges. And sold and sold them as collector's items.
Oh yeah.
For like 100 times the original price of $9.95.
Yeah, if you can, for all the people who wouldn't take this thing for $10 when they couldn't get rid of it back in the day, it costs you about $10,000 to own one of those now.
Can you imagine? I played that game. I finished playing the game in 15 minutes. Now, I'm not saying I beat the game. I mean, I was finished it within 15 minutes. I was finished with playing that damn game. Well, I took it out. I took a lighter to it.
It's a terrible game, yes. I will say, like,
good, but the game itself sucked.
Well, everyone says, like, this is the worst game of all time. It's not. It's absolutely horrible, but. You know, it's Atari level of just, it's cryptic as fuck because they can't really give you instructions during an Atari game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just more like you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like, there is a point. You can beat the game in like 15 minutes if you know what the hell you're doing.
But you have to play it for like 3 months straight to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do.
But, yeah, it's a shitty game. I've seen so much worse. I've played so much worse. God, I've played worse.
The only good Atari games were in
Road Rash.
Old arcades. That's it.
Don't be knocking Road Rash, Omega.
No, I'm joking about that. Like, I've played far worse. I played a game so bad that an entire gaming magazine changed its 0% rating to the name of the game for the rest of the production run. Like, for the rest of the magazine's history.
So, if you guys are this upset, I can't imagine what your reaction is going to be when we say next week Ben Affleck is the best Batman of all time.
All right, get a rope.
At least he didn't say Clooney.
Well, that would be just heinous. But I read someplace after Batman versus Superman came out that Ben Affleck refuses to make a bad Batman movie. And my first reaction was a little bit too late for that, Ben.
Because next week's Greater Than Great Debate is the best Batman character and best Superman character, and then they square off. Which one's the best in the end?
Wouldn't that, like, naturally be Lex Luthor versus the Joker? The two most iconic?
Tune in Saturday night, midnight-ish, to find out exactly which version of Woo battles it out.
Watch him pick, like, Mr. Freeze.
Okay. If it's Mr. Freeze from the 90s animation, it's perfect choice. Like, I'd actually accept that.
Okay. But not Schwarzenegger.
Oh, God. Schwarzenegger bad. Go watch, like, Mr. Freeze from the Adam West series.
Oh, are you kidding?
Well, he was just, like, that was back when they didn't have, like, a serious tone to the character. He was just a guy who made cold puns.
Yep.
I do have the animated version, Michael something or other, listed on here for the Mr. Freeze.
I'm gonna make you roll your eyes. I grew up watching reruns of the 60s Adam West Batman TV show. My favorite character for all the wrong reasons was Egghead.
And I'm not rolling my eyes.
Okay, by your chuckling, I'm getting the idea. You understand exactly why.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Now we see where Tim gets it from.
Excellent.
Oh.
It all goes back to that.
God. I felt a blood vessel pop on that one.
Hey, you can't blame me for those puns.
You're just repeating them.
Yep. Anyway, so yeah, I'm back after a 1 week hiatus in case a couple of you might wonder where the hell I was. I was passed out on my couch for 3.5 days suffering from the flu and a fever of about 130.
Okay, that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Just a tiniest little bit of an exaggeration. But I lost 10 pounds in 4 days.
Ooh.
Wow, that's a lot. And that was an exaggeration.
I avoided that on purpose. And you went and I hate to say it, but you pulled a Tim Stein.
On purpose.
Dumbass. You probably voted against Zelda.
I did.
Oh, shit. Omega, don't hang up. Please don't hang up.
What you gonna do, brother?
You drizzling cum bucket.
Ooh! Thanks for the visual. Gross!
No, that's segment two. We're talking about that stuff. Segment two.
So wrestling?
Yes, let's talk about some wrestling, Tim, because that's why this is Wrestle Talk Radio.
Absolutely, but I just had to give you shit for that list. I mean, that's like Donald Trump epic proportions of fail. That said, I missed a lot of WWE programming because I was out for the count. In fact, I saw absolutely no WWE programming at all this week. But I heard a rumor that The Rock called CM Punk after Monday Night Raw, standing in the middle of the ring.
That he did.
Okay, this is something. I hope he got in trouble for it, like got yelled at or something.
You mean you hope he got heat for it?
No, I hope he got yelled at. Never mind heat. I hope he got yelled at. The Rock is a huge, massive ass movie star, so you can't give him heat. You can yell at him.
Vince was not happy about it. That's for damn sure. So the setup was they were filming scenes for the new Page movie, Fighting for Your Family.
Who played AJ Lee?
Thea Trinidad.
Okay.
So they're filming scenes, the big climactic scene for the big wrestling match. So The Rock was out there, trying to get the crowd going, get doing cheers and boos, whatever. And then, you know, luck would have it, they brought up AJ's name. People chant CM Punk. The Rock wants to entertain, so he picks up his phone and he calls CM Punk. And
too bad he didn't call him Phil.
He did not call him Phil. So he calls him, he doesn't answer, of course. Fans still chant his name, and that went on for about a couple minutes, and then they went on with the rest of their day. But yes, he called CM Punk, who tweeted he was walking his dog at the time. But thank the crowd for chanting his name.
And yeah, the reason why I hope he got shit and got yelled at, WWE's done everything they can to do whatever they can to take that chant out of the crowd for the last few years. There are those of us who are still choked at Phil Brooks for walking away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah, I was lumping you in with me, Omega. Maybe we're being selfish and, short-sighted. I don't give a damn. I understand. Okay, he was having problems, MRSA on his back or whatever. Something going on. And the doctors misdiagnosed him. It happens. I'm sorry it happened. But to take your ball and go home like that, just really, when you are who you are and when we are who we are, something like that happens when we're at work and we walk away, that's different. We don't have millions and millions of fans chanting our name every week. We don't have millions and millions of fans looking up to us. We don't have millions and millions of dollars in the bank from these people who pay good money to see us. Or, in this case, listen to us.
They thought the chant died, and he brought it back, and they warned him, you may get a CM Punk chant, just ignore it. And
then he kind of sort of like, yeah.
Yeah. Rock is not one to ignore an audience.
No, he's not. And then, even Vince McMahon sent a referee down to say, stop calling CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Which The Rock did stop calling CM Punk at that point.
I mean, at least it's off camera. It doesn't do any damage other than to that particular audience.
And the viral sensation became on the internet the next...
Well...
you know.
It's a little bit different than when they do funny stuff at a house show that, you know, they shouldn't do, but they're going to do it just because it's a nothing is being taped for broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Or anything like that. And yeah, like look at the circumstance with Benoit. Wasn't it CM Punk himself who threw one of his opponents at a house show into the crossface and yelled out, why? Why Benoit? Why? Or why Chris? Why?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't even recall that.
I remember it happening. It was, not all that long after, and it was a Saturday night house show. Someplace in Midwestern United States. And I'm 90% positive that, that it was Punk that did it in the middle of the ring. Not the same thing as calling somebody who walked away from you, I'll admit. However, it proves it, you know, it's making my point.
God, if I could remember the incident, I'd have a response.
They did everything they could to bury it as quickly as possible, so it might be a little obscure by now.
Yeah, I don't remember it, honestly.
Yeah, me being from, you know, living where I'm living, and Chris Benoit having come up the way he came up, stuff like that will stick with me, whereas other things will stick with other people that I won't remember.
And this is very obscure, that this thing, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very obscure. I mean, there were a few references to it, and WWE never made any kind of statement about it or anything like that, and did everything they could just to bury the story as quickly as possible. So, and I think it was first reported on Wrestling Inc.
I don't see anything for it.
So you've been Googling it, trying to find it.
I have been. I've been doing multiple Google searches for it.
Okay.
And
well,
trust me, it
actually happened.
Supposedly, in the mind of it happened. I don't know where else. I don't know.
What?
I don't know if it exists. Cause you
just take my word for it. None of the supposedly shit.
I will take Tim's word for it.
The fake Sir Rockin' media.
The fake news from Tim Stein.
Fake Sir Rockin' news.
How's it my fake news? You're the one saying it.
No. Fake Sir Rockin' sincerity.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tim's alternative fact for the night.
There you go. But it actually happened, so. But yeah, you know, as far as all of that goes, Omega and I are firmly in the camp. Fuck you, Phil, for abandoning your fans.
Mm-hmm.
Omega's response on Monday was great.
What was your response?
God, I don't even remember it.
Oh, let's see. I'm just going to scroll up fast enough in our chat to remember. No. Oh, yeah. Don't be nice to that shithead. that was his response.
Sweet! So, yeah, that's our reaction. Do we have any other reactions to it?
I want AJ back.
There you go. That's a good reaction.
It's his fucking fault I will never get AJ versus Bayley.
Oh, shit. You had to do that, didn't you?
Yes. Yes,
God,
I did.
It did
feel my pain.
It did happen. Happened in NXT. You can actually find that when you Google
search
that.
I know, but I want it when Bayley's good.
I understand this. I'm just saying you can Google search that and that actually comes up, unlike the Benoit story.
So anyway, yeah. Now, if it was any superstar from a later era, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have had the balls to do it. But The Rock is from the Attitude Era, where they were told, okay, you've got to make these points go out and entertain the people. Say whatever.
Yeah, that is the part about this, is it's The Rock.
Yep.
Like, I wonder, it's like, I think every now and then, whenever Rock shows up, he gets away with sexually suggestive material. He gets away with extra profanity. I genuinely, this is maybe the first time I've actually heard report of them actually being like physically, like visibly upset over crap he was pulling.
That's hilarious.
So, like, okay, now we know where the line is.
You can talk sex, you can talk trash, you can swear, we'll bleep you. Just don't call CM Punk in the middle of the ring, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah, you can refer to your dick as strudel, just don't mention CM Punk.
Never mind. Fuck it. I was gonna talk about pie. I like pie.
ManKitchenTV.com?
I like that kind of pie too, but that's not what I was referring to.
There was this awkward silence. I had to throw something out there.
the only hint that I can give you is meow.
We all knew what you
were doing. I know you know, but yes, there's one person who doesn't get it, and he lives in Arizona and doesn't know how to take a day off. He must be punished, by the way.
That's what Saturday nights are for.
20 points. Screw him.
And why did he get 20 points, Tim? Do you know why?
He cheated.
No, it's our next story.
Oh, okay. He got 20 points because Naomi had to give the championship to Alexa Bliss. Because
he has Alexa Bliss, and she won the SmackDown Women's Championship by beating Becky Lynch this past Tuesday night because Naomi, due to injury, had to give it up.
I guess Naomi was trying to pull a Finn Balor, getting hurt the night you win the title.
In a way.
You spelt strudel wrong. Anyway, yeah. That was just a message to somebody. Never mind.
So, yeah. the intern did a blame Brent to give himself 15, 20 points, whatever, to catch up in fantasy.
Jesus Murphy. Anyway, what exactly happened to Naomi? Fill me in. I didn't see.
Well, you did see.
Well, I didn't notice when I saw.
Okay, on the split leg moonsault, the final one, she injured her knee.
Okay, yeah, that was the near the end of the match when the last three moves were super sloppy, and they just each one got sloppier than the last one.
Right, and on the last moonsault, she injured her knee.
Okay,
she apparently it's her.
I see, write something that it was very similar to what Seth did to his, and could have been just as bad.
It's a. Nothing was torn. She did not tear the MCL. She strained ligaments all the way up and down her leg, according to her Instagram. So I'm going to read you it if I can find it really quick. When I damn near blew out my MCL and every muscle from my calf to my hamstring, I'm just thankful it wasn't worse.
So how long is she going to be out for?
Well, WrestleMania is, what, 6 weeks away?
Something like that.
Something like that. They're hoping she could be back for WrestleMania, but because they believe she might not be, that is why they took the belt off of her, and Alexa Bliss is once again champion.
So chances are, if she's back in time, she'd be in Mania fighting to regain the title.
And probably in some multi-woman match, which is probably what they're trying to set up.
Which would be best for her, especially with that kind of an injury, yeah.
And the reason they put the belt on her is because WrestleMania is in Orlando. She's from Orlando, so they were going, hey, the hometown champion is coming to defend the belt. Mm-hmm. The problem with Naomi, and we talked about this Thursday, is she always gets hurt.
Familiar.
She just came back from injury before they put her in this spot. She was injured last year, so it's like she has a track record of getting hurt. So her coming and winning the belt and then getting hurt probably doesn't do much for her.
She would be considered untradeable in any professional sport. Injury prone.
Injury prone is the best way to put it, yeah.
Yeah.
But with only 6-7 women on the division, she's sort of, you can't say she'll never get the push again.
No.
But for me, it's hard to really have faith in her with her being quote-unquote injury prone.
Well, you obviously must see something in the works in WWE Creative for them to give it back to Alexa Bliss.
Well, it's a smart decision to put it back on Alexa. I know you're not the biggest Alexa Bliss fan.
No, I'm sorry. It just goes back to what The Rock once said about Tobey Maguire doing the Spider-Man movies. You got to be believable to me. Yeah, she's hot. She's only 5 feet tall. She's 5 pounds of fury. Or 5 feet of fury. Whatever. You know, after the eating disorder, she's probably 5 pounds of fury too. Sorry.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was a slip of the tongue. And so I decided, fuck it. I'm going there.
At Flames Forums on Twitter. Anyway.
Don't make me cry. Just blame Matt. I don't care. Yeah, no, it's like what I was saying. I'm having too much of a hard time believing that she's capable of kicking ass the way they're having her kick ass. It's almost as believable as CM Punk being a successful UFC champion.
No, Alexa has a better chance of being a successful champion than CM Punk ever did.
Yeah.
So, hashtag blame Matt is now every time you tell a bad joke, it's hashtag blame Matt.
I don't know, is it?
I don't know, I'm just pointing it out.
I know. He was supposed to come into the chat room with an absolutely awesome chat name, but he's late again.
Well, did you
ha, ha, ha.
T- Did he take the test and really know if he's late again? Maybe he wants to.
I'm sure the rabbit survived.
So Mega.
Okay, I come back, put my headphones on, and I hear, at least the rabbit survived.
No, I said,
what
I'm sure.
What the fuck do you people do while I'm gone?
We were talking about Matt being late again.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Rock said something about the test, and I said, I'm sure the rabbit survived. Now you're caught up.
So Megan,
got it.
Your thoughts on Alexa Bliss now being the SmackDown champion?
I'm sorry. I had it like when you started talking, I heard in my head you were going to ask him about the rabbit surviving. So Omega, what do you think about the rabbit surviving as far as Matt's concerned? Should his wife try harder next time?
Okay. What am I talking about?
Naomi dropping the belt.
Thank you.
The drugs are kicking in.
It's unfortunate. Like, she has come a long way. She is a survivor of the Diva era, and she's managed to keep herself going. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks that she had a freak injury. Thank you, Alexa, for not rolling close enough to the turnbuckle for the moonsault.
We bitched about that right after the pay-per-view.
It's ugh. Because I honestly am enjoying like the women's division. Thin as it is on both rosters, you've got so much good talent in there right now that, you know, we're kind of spoiled for really good women's performers in WWE right now.
This is like the golden age right now.
This is like not to say anything bad about the women of the time, but it's like having a whole bunch of Trish and Litas, you know, in the division all at the same time.
And they're all not cookie cutter.
Right.
Which is better than the one era where everyone was blonde hair, blue eyed, basically.
Yeah.
And Trish had to dye her hair to look like that.
I was talking,
you know,
past the Trish era, but anyway. By the way.
I was happy for Naomi when she won, and it's, you know, I hate to see a title run end that way.
But are you okay with Alexa having the belt again?
I am. Like, she is definitely one of the stronger performers on SmackDown right now. Like, she's come so far. She was one of those that came up going like, I'm not really sure if she's ready, but she's run with it. She's really stepped up her game. She is every bit deserving of being there. You know, like I said, you know, we're kind of spoiled for choices on just really, really good, female wrestlers right now, you know, on Raw and SmackDown. And then there's Dana Brooke.
Exactly where I was going right when you said it.
Speaking of other female wrestlers, we did not get a chance to ask Tim about his thoughts on the return of Emelina 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Raw.
The debut of Emelina.
And the denouement at the same
point.
The one and only point.
Yeah, I'm feeling bad for Omega. Point, you know, for fantasy, but other than that, I'm like, well, they spent all this time building us up. We were delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. This happens? What's different? Oh, nothing. Okay. And then you read in the following days, oh, she's not talented enough to pull off what we were trying to go for, so we said screw it.
I'm
paraphrasing.
Yeah, it wasn't she's not talented enough, because, you know, Emma's a talented performer, but relatively.
Actress-wise.
Dana.
Dana.
All right. Relatively.
Yet the Emma-Dana combination actually worked really well together. Anyway.
Kind of did, strangely enough. But no, like, they were trying to make her something she isn't. Like, if you put The Rock in the wrong character, it's not going to work. You know, you put Steve Austin in as the ringmaster, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, no, that really didn't work.
Yeah. It's just sometimes you can't force somebody to be your idea of, you know, a character, you know, because sometimes it just cannot perform it, you know. Emelina was that character.
She cannot be Sable.
Yeah, she cannot be, like, Yeah,
the Sable three, had a hard time being Sable.
Oh.
And then she really got full of herself.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm biting my tongue really hard after what you just said.
She got full of herself, and then she got full of Brock.
Thank you! I feel so much better.
At least that didn't last for 4 hours.
Well, we all feel like crap sometimes. That's all I can say.
Anyway.
Okay, what time did the train officially go off the rails here?
10:20.
We started talking about Nintendo 64 games.
Oh, so at the beginning of the show.
We're not on rails. We're the train from Back to the Future 3. We're just flying around willy-nilly.
Oh, don't get me started on how fake that was.
What are you talking? The flying train that travels through time is so fake. Yes, let's have that debate.
I had to do that because I just find it really funny people bitching and complaining about CGI that they think could have been done better in movies when it's not believable. Well, you're talking about flying fucking whatever. Of course not. I mean, come on. People get nitpicky. Anyway, whatever. We should consider going to break shortly.
Get to hit the last topic, then we'll go to break.
I was just about to say, before we go to break, congratulations to the latest inductee into the Hall of Meaningless. I mean, the WWE Hall of Fame. DDP.
I'm not going to call it the Hall of Meaningless, because there's some really deserving people in there, but it's a WWE Hall of Fame and not a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, there's a ton of people deserving. There are a ton of people that should be in there that will never get in there because it's politics. And politics renders shit meaningless. It's a harsh thing to say, but the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame is way more prestigious, and it means a fuck of a lot more if you're inducted into that than if you're inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. That said, does DDP deserve that kind of recognition?
Jake Roberts and Scott Hall are still here, so yes.
I mean, just
Goldust could still wrestle.
Yeah, just DDP yoga alone would deserve honorable mention.
Yeah, like that's all Chris Jericho does now. He's one of the best performers still.
Yep. At the age of 45?
He's getting there.
Shit, he's like, yeah, that's right. It's not the fact that Jericho's still wrestling. It's that he's able to go the way that he's going and able to hang with the younger 20-somethings the way he's able to hang with the younger 20-somethings. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything but credit DDP Yoga for that. You mentioned Jake the Snake Roberts. You said Hall and, Nash, right?
Roberts.
Hey?
Hall and Roberts.
Yeah. Okay, Hall and Roberts. He's helped so many people, and he's come close to helping so many others that just basically turned their backs on him and shouldn't have, because they'd either still be here or still be active or still be able to do something.
You remember the reports we had of like just how bad Hall was between alcohol and how bad his body was getting?
Oh shit! Right before he got together with Dallas, reading about an appearance that he made in the UK where he was so bad he needed help getting to the ring, and it was like they were walking a 90-year-old man to the ring and helping him climb the stairs just so he could throw a punch.
And DDP comes through, and later he's at WrestleMania taking a bump on the outside.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That aside, he's a miracle worker. He has given, he's put an extra 10 years on everybody's career.
Yep.
That said, the guy was actually really, really good in his day too.
Well, not only that, how old was he when he started?
35.
Yeah, I was about to say late mid-30s. He was not somebody who decided he wanted to be a wrestler when he was 15 and then went to a training school when he was 17 and worked his way up from, you know, from, being a nobody teenager in backyard halls. He started, like midlife for a wrestler, and he put on some great goddamn matches in his day.
He started at a time when 35 was up there for a wrestler.
Yep.
When you were almost past your prime at that point, you know, staring down the barrel of 40 and being fired for sure.
Yeah.
And he did this weird transition where you never see a manager and a color commentator go, I'm going to step into that ring now and actually be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he was charismatic as hell. He got the crowd fired up. You know, when he calls himself, like he was calling himself the people's champion. Mm-hmm. At the same time, The Rock was. And you know what? As a kid, I was a mark for DDP. I loved his run in WCW.
He was, I have to admit it, one of the reasons I watched WCW for a time there. He was somebody that had never worked WWE and didn't cross over and go back and forth chasing the higher contract every 5 years, every 2 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call him a homegrown talent because the only real homegrown talent WCW ever had was Goldberg. He's as close to homegrown talent as you can get for WCW without being Bill Goldberg.
You remember when he was at his prime in WCW, his matches weren't about if he hits the diamond cutter, it's how he did it.
How and when. And it was a diamond cutter out of nowhere before it was the RKO out of nowhere.
Well, it was all of those cutter moves.
Yep.
Like everything that we call different variations of the cutter, you know, it was all versions of the diamond cutter first.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, he was able to talk on the mic. He worked good matches. You tuned in to see how, like you said, it was going to get done. And, how many stinker matches do you remember ever seeing him have other than the one that involved David Arquette?
Oh God.
That's the only black mark, as far as I'm concerned, on DDP's career, really.
Like, honestly, the only times when you can really go like into that kind of category is when he was in his WWE run. And that was more because they didn't know how to use him.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to fault the man for the Positively Page run.
Yeah. The best thing about the Positively Page run was having Big Show come out with the leg and the fake teeth. That was the best part of it. So. But yeah, self high five. Who inducts them? This is a tricky one, isn't it?
It is.
I'll go back to the first comment I make. Jake and Scott Hall. Go full circle.
Have Jake and Scott? I don't know. Maybe?
According to DDP, Jake could tell a lot of stories about those two, and you always want the storyteller. You want the one who has the most dirt on the guy.
As weird as this may sound to a lot of people, I would be okay with Sting inducting him, and I can hear a few people scratching their heads thinking, huh? Why? These guys didn't do a lot of work together in WCW, but they did a lot of stuff together behind the scenes back before the internet was around and you didn't get all of the stories and the dirt every single day of everything going on. And Sting was the franchise. He was the face of WCW.
Mm-hmm.
On that merit, I would be perfectly copacetic seeing Sting. Another one that I'll just throw out there was Booker T.
Oh, Booker would have stories.
Yep. You know Booker would have something to say about DDP. And I'd like to hear it.
God damn it, if it wasn't the PG rule. Ugh.
Yeah. Excuse me, WWE, could you make the Hall of Fame R-rated this year?
Network exclusive.
There you go. Absolutely nobody under the age of 18 or viewer discretion is advised. So those are my big names. Did you have any others that might come out of left field?
Those are pretty appropriate.
Well, do you agree with me on Sting? For my reasons?
I don't know about Sting.
Okay.
And I think Jake's about as good of a fit as you're going to get.
No.
I don't know. Oh, I hear the theme WWE won't use.
That's a cue for someone.
Shut up and listen to the song.
You can't. It'll get louder when you say we'll be right back after this.
All right. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, coming up, we also have the Fastlane preview tonight. So somebody remind me to fire up the random thing picker so we don't forget to include that. That being said, don't go anywhere, anybody. We'll be back in about 6 minutes.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have you subscribed to the Rack Radio Show YouTube channel? If you haven't, here is what you are missing. 5 days of WWE 2K17 content featuring Mashup Monday, featuring your favorites performing entrances of other WWE superstars. Tuesday is Raw Redo, featuring a recreation of a match from the previous night's edition of Monday Night Raw. Wednesday is Wild Card Wednesday, where anything could happen in WWE 2K17. Thursday is Throwback Thursday, featuring a historical matchup from WWE history. Friday is Fantasy Friday, featuring a dream match between two WWE superstars. Plus monthly simulations of every WWE pay-per-view. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now to youtube.com/recradioshow for daily content from WWE 2K17.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What is the greatest N64 video game of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's me! It's me! It's DDP!
Yo, monkey! It's me, DDP. The king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time
world champ.
And you, monkey, for you. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Hello, ladies.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just shooting the shit on a Sunday night, talking mostly wrestling and a little bit of some other stuff here and there. And I just wanted on the record that Arya Stark had the list before Chris Jericho. That's for Game of Thrones fans.
Omega's still not happy with my list.
You go to hell.
Are you talking about the Saturday night TV radio list?
Uh-huh, though, because I just played the commercial for the 64 thing. And
none of those songs made it to the final. Ugh. You picked those songs. You knew what the good games were.
He picked the songs on purpose because he knew it would piss you off. That's his sense of humor. You should know that by now.
No. I made the commercial last week before even the debate.
Okay, well, you just anticipated then.
Douche guzzler.
Just call him douche nozzle.
No.
Okay. Mother bitch.
No, I got one of those. No.
Oh. This is me shutting right the fuck up.
Joining us right now on the show is the one, the only.
Hi, Heartbreak Mike.
I couldn't even give him the proper intro. Hi, Mike.
Ow.
So you did a wrestling show today?
I did a thing. Yeah, I did a thing.
Did you work a singles match or a doubles match?
Clusterfuck.
You worked the clusterfuck? Those are some of my favorite kinds.
Oh, we're about to talk about brazers. You're at the right time.
Fuck.
Oh, aww. I see what you did there.
Oh.
Mike shows up just in time to talk pornography. Isn't that just absolutely coincidental?
Some odds and ends type bullshit. Speaking of odds and ends.
And bullshit.
Are we really about to talk about this?
We got a lead up, but it's there.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Go ahead.
The only thing good about this, is it pronounced brazers or brazzers?
I think brazers.
I don't know.
Personally,
Omega, you probably would. I was about to say somebody watches more porn than all of us. So who's the one? No one.
Tim would be.
Listen, there's a really good reason why I don't watch porn. The only dick I want to see sucked is my own.
Oh, right. So.
So, what's your problem with lesbian porn?
Absolutely nothing.
Bumping ugly.
I meant like, what would they call that? Straight porn? The only problem is I want to be really careful saying that because I don't need anybody be making smart-ass comments.
All comments?
Any kind of comments.
All comments.
So which emails? Part of the story are we talking about first, Tim? You might as well just throw it out there first.
A parody porn based on the Montreal Screwjob. The only good thing about this is that it involves two women.
Yeah, I honestly expected a gay porn title to come up when I actually clicked on the news story.
When Tim told me about the story, I was like, I'm surprised they haven't done this already.
I mean, like, it's been 20 years this year, and it took them this long to come up with something?
I guess the script went through many rewrites?
Sure.
Go with that one.
The script.
You know, Bret Hart's going to be blamed for this, too. Not the fact that they're doing the screw job, but, oh, Bret Hart just can't let the Montreal screw job die. It's his fault. There's a porno about it now.
So how many stars do they get?
4 out of 10 penises.
There we go. 4 out of 10.
Yeah, Rick's still not a fan.
Jesus.
I really don't know what to talk about this. I wasn't expecting Rock to include this in the run sheet when I came across the story and sent it to him. I thought, oh my god, fuck, you gotta read this. Click. Okay, well, hey, you know what? It's in the run note. Why? This is why.
No, there's a reason why.
Yeah, and this is the reason. He wants us to come up with any other historical moments in professional wrestling that could be turned into parody porn. Now, before we dive into this and see if we can think of something like David Arquette winning the world title, turn that into parody porn. Good luck. My response to Rock was, if you stop and think about it, 90% of the shit they were doing with the Divas in the Attitude Era was parodying porn.
That's true.
Now, to correct you, Tim, the only reason this is in the rundown is because of what happened with Tom Phillips. So I had to connect the two stories.
Well, okay, yeah. We jumped over Tom Phillips and went straight to the screw job. We'll talk Tom Phillips in a bit.
I had to tie them together. That's why it's in the rundown.
Don't tie them together. That's disgusting. It's not. Please. Thank you.
So, anyway, think about it really quickly. What would have been good to make a parody porn of? And no, you're not allowed to use China. He already made it.
Well, technically, go ahead, Omega.
Mickey Foley is pinning Rock Johnson with the help of DXXX in Put Your Butt in My Seat.
Someone did preparation for this. Well done, Omega.
You actually did prep work on this. What the fuck?
Has this been one of your
I saw it as a challenge.
It's about time you saw something as a challenge.
You work 4 sex puns into 1 wrestling reference. Tell me how easy it is.
Yeah, not very easy. We try on a regular basis and fail half the time, so.
Well, I mean.
Did you come up with any others, Omega?
Nope, blew my wad.
No! Tell me I'm not the only one who caught that.
Everyone caught it, Tim.
I think so.
Ew.
Welcome to WTR Sunday Night, where we make fun of pornography.
Hmm.
And pornography is known as WWE.
Okay.
It just calls to mind one proposed angle that Vince was desperate to do. He wanted to do an incest angle with Shane
we didn't have to go there.
Well, it was kind of unavoidable with the
show. No, it totally was. Totally was.
I remember, I think it was 2000, like when was this? 2005 that this story broke. And with, when we brought it up on air, I had a couple of different co-hosts all the way back then. And I think that was the very first time I ever said something absolutely, totally shocking. I did a fake Vince McMahon voice. And I just basically brought the entire show to a screeching halt, and it was hilarious. I'm not going to repeat what I said.
Jesus.
But I will say it was funny.
So moving on to Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah, quickly. So he gets caught sexting while he's, on an airplane? He's going back and forth on Instagram with this chick who didn't know?
Well, not caught sexting so much as, he's sexting with someone who was not his fiance.
And she
and
didn't
then
know
the girl he was sexting with found out he had a fiance.
Yep.
And then
she posted the chat
on the interwebs, and the interwebs have had a hilarious take on it so far.
Well, let's just say the internet is the internet where it comes to stuff like this, and that's all you need to know.
They have not let me down so far.
No.
That's the best way to put it. They have not let me down.
But holy cow, he was just the tiniest little bit graphic with what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Say the least.
And I think that's the least we should say about it.
Because, you know, after everything we've said tonight, he's not going to mention what he said.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
In fact,
I'm not going to say it.
Well,
you weren't expecting me to say it, were you?
I'm just, you're leading the show, so lead on.
Yeah, well, I'm just say it was a really graphic thing of what he wanted to do to this girl that he was chatting with. And she put it out there. Caught fire, picked up steam, and just went
right.
In today's day and age, it was just a couple of years ago that Seth Rollins got caught, thanks to his then fiance. It was his official WWE Twitter that Rollins' pictures got put up, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which gets picked up by WWE.com. So the pictures appeared on WWE.com as well.
Jeez.
Well, yeah.
Then his thing was shown all around the internet.
And he wasn't really punished.
In fact, he became WWE champion.
Not too long afterwards.
6 weeks later.
Yeah. Now, we have seen cases of WWE employees and talent, lower tier talent, being punished to the point of dismissal, among other things, for lesser transgressions, whereas we've seen the bigger names get away and skate, as they say in Canada, without being punished for their transgressions.
What was interesting about the Seth Rollins one? Because I was thinking back to it. We talked to him 2 weeks prior to his thing being shown on the internet.
His indiscretion?
His indiscretion. And he was like, oh, I love spending time at home with my fiance and my dog. And then 2 weeks later, oh, look, he's just like everyone else, cheating on
sending
his
very excited just pictures. Like everyone else. Sending excited pictures to his girlfriend, not his fiance.
Yes. It's just very amusing.
It was funny.
But WWE should not fire him.
So, you know, as far as you asking what could be turned into parody porn, WWE doesn't need to worry about that. And nobody else does. With all the shit going on. But my point, my question to you guys, should he be censured? Should he be disciplined? Should he be fired?
No.
I can't wait for Tuesday. And JBL tried to make a comment about it in the most PG way possible. I can't wait.
You know he's going to try.
He's going to try. You know that.
That's why I can't wait for SmackDown.
I think everybody, oh my God.
Look at the spike in viewership for SmackDown Live this Tuesday. And it was only for 10 minutes. What's going on?
That happened.
But you're not going to see a punishment for this because it wasn't him that put it out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, he's kind of being an asshole.
Yep.
Kind of?
Like, if he was...
He's being a massive asshole.
If he was publicly tweeting back and forth, and yeah, that would have been a different story, maybe. But, maybe...
Like, it was a completely private conversation that she happened to go, okay, no, I'm now going to share this with the rest of the world. It's like holding them accountable for something they said in their living room.
Yeah.
I get you.
But yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I don't see him getting fired over this. It's a shame that, he'd be that kind of a pig. What? How is that funny?
I want to see how it turns out. That's all.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can say. I just want to see how this turns out.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. maybe he'll wind up being told, hey, don't do shit like that.
But see, a slap on the wrist though? Like, yeah. Don't do that. Please don't. Stop. Don't do that again. Okay? All right. Yeah, okay. We'll see.
Smarten the fuck up. Enough said.
There you go.
There, yeah. And that, you know, Vince, smarten the fuck up. I never got caught. I mean.
Oh, shit. next subject.
Just nice. So, anyway, yeah, well, you know, that's it. Got a question for you guys. I brought this up with Rock, when was that? 3 weeks ago?
The night of the chamber.
And then we were going to talk about it the following week, which was, like, last week.
Last week.
But somebody was super sick. Like, dying. Like a fever of 150.
This has become the Hogan Andre thing. The temperature goes up and up every time you tell a story.
Jesus.
Yeah. I tell you, Brother Ellis, burn it up. Anyway,
All right.
I had a little discussion with Rock, and looking at Fastlane, and looking at the Chamber, and looking at Royal Rumble, I get that you have the minor pay-per-views in between the big ones.
Absolutely.
However, in this instance, in my opinion, and this, you know, agree with me or disagree, we'll talk about it, Royal Rumble, in my opinion, should be the final pay-per-view before we head to WrestleMania. That should be the setup pay-per-view. The big granddaddy where everything comes together and it's the final setup for WrestleMania. And then you have Chamber and Fastlane before the Royal Rumble.
Hmm.
So basically what I'm saying, next week instead of Fastlane, we would finally have the Royal Rumble.
Okay. I would have to say yes. Because it would make perfect sense.
So you just sort of understand why I thought that then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and elaborate.
Because it literally leads the final pay-per-view for WrestleMania should always be the one that's going to main event WrestleMania.
Yep.
Because basically the Royal Rumble is supposed to be the start of the road to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I get where they do the, you know, fast lane or pit stop or whatever. But.
Pit stop. I like that.
But.
Welcome to WWE Pit Stop.
You know, pit stop, crossroads, fast lane. Anyway.
Can we get Bob Holly and his old gimmick to host it?
Nice.
Oh boy.
Spark plug.
Sparky plug.
Slap slap. Yeah.
But he'd have to have that funny looking mullet back.
I ain't gonna lie. But it leads to WrestleMania right there.
Yep.
Fastlane, Chamber.
Yeah.
Dear God.
It took him a little while to find it, but at least he found it.
At least he found it. All right. Bob Holly. Okay.
No, remember his name was Thurman Sparkplug Holly at first.
Thurman.
Get it right. Thurman.
When he first debuted, it was Thurman Sparky Plug Holly.
Oh my God. Somebody stop this man. I'm going to download crappy N64 emulators. Anyway.
Oh, shit. You had to mention that.
Anyway. Fastlane, like, remember when No Way Out, Elimination Chamber, that was like the number one contender. Okay, hey guys, so the person that wins this match is number one contender to such and such. Elimination Chamber and Fastlane should be where they crown, where the champion, all titles are on the line. Let's see who's going to win Royal Rumble to be the number one contender for the world title. But also, I see the other side of, ooh, Fast of World Rumble. Let's see who's going to win that. Who's going to main event WrestleMania and win the world title? Wait, there's another title that needs to be that's on the line. Fuck, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, are the last two going to be going for the top titles?
No.
Well, that only works if they're opposing brands.
Which is why I'm saying you have to think about that.
But then what's so special about winning the Royal Rumble if both of them get to have world title matches at Mania? Like, why would you have the final fall? Why would you have the final elimination in the match if both of them are going to get championship shots?
Well, the winner gets to main event WrestleMania. Of course, close the show.
I mean, if we're going with your scenario, if we go, the final two should win, then Vince McMahon never tears his quads, and we never have that hilarious moment.
True. But also, I mean, whether you guys like, and you all have seen this, the last two are always number one contenders for the title.
No, they're not.
Back then, before bullshit. I'll give you an example. Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 23.
Well.
24, I'm sorry.
No, you had it right. It was 23.
Okay, thank you.
But that was only because Triple H got hurt.
Triple H got hurt in my ass. Y'all can feed me that bullshit.
That's the honest truth. They've all admitted it. It was the storyline. Shawn was filling in for Hunter.
Batista, John Cena. Funny moment. Thank you, Vince. Those two were number one contenders for the titles. The top titles. Just saying.
Yeah, well, 2 years ago was Rusev.
What title shot did he get?
United States.
But that wasn't a world title.
It was a title.
Now that's technicality.
It was a title.
Everyone gets
shut up. Because there wasn't a world and then a WWE title. Back then, from 2002 on up, it was like, oh my god, John Cena, or oh my god, Batista, or oh my god, Shawn Michaels, or oh my god.
2011.
Okay.
Alberto Del Rio, 40-man Royal Rumble. Do you remember who he last eliminated?
Who was that again?
Santino Marella.
Oh no, that was just to piss somebody off.
I like how there's an excuse for that. Oh, that was just to piss somebody off.
Can we? Elimination Chamber. Santino's gonna win it! Nope.
And that was a brand split year.
Touche.
Ryback
was, too.
John Cena defeated Ryback in the Royal Rumble. Who did Ryback fight?
That nigga fucked up, that's why.
Okay, that's two excuses.
You got too many technicalities here. You can't have that many asterisks next to it.
God, watch me.
Dolph Ziggler. In 2012.
He already had a ticket. That bitch already had a ticket.
I just like seeing how deep the hole can get at this point.
Let's see. What other ones can we think of that happened? In the brand split, Triple H in 2008 fight for a title?
Yeah.
Who did he fight?
2008?
Uh-huh.
Un momento.
Or 2009, rather.
2009? He fought Randy Orton.
Okay. Let's see. 2008 was...
Triple H. John Cena and Randy Orton. 2007, Batista and The Undertaker.
But Shawn?
WWE Championship.
Let's see. Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton.
Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton were the last two, so therefore they became in the triple threat.
I don't think Randy fought for the title in 2005?
Nope. Randy was not the... Hold on. Randy was not the runner-up in the 2005 Royal Rumble.
Oh, John Cena was. That's right.
Thank you.
Who did John Cena fight?
Shawn Michaels.
In 2005?
No, JBL.
Was it 2005?
2005 was when WrestleMania 21, JBL versus John Cena. John Cena won clean.
Still. That's not how you do it, though. I disagree. Rumble should not be right before WrestleMania. There should be an event between.
See, I understand why they do it. I understand why Rumble is in January. It's early in the year because you want that spaced out big four. Like, if you're looking at it like that, you know, there's your four, you know, your four cornerstones of the industry's pay-per-views. I understand, like, wanting to separate that out for the sake of buy rates, but you also have the network now, so that's a little irrelevant.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind. I don't think it should be right after Mania. I think, especially when you have another brand who needs to establish their number one contender as well, you do need a big deal event in between. That said, I like the big build-up. I like when you have the established match. You know, right now, you know, like, we have Orton versus Wyatt set up, even though we're kind of not set up for that, Nick, but we really are. Yeah, and I like that that has plenty of time to play out, to make it an interesting story, because we've never had something like that where someone's you know, it's always, you know, eventually that's going to happen. Eventually that's the setup, but for right now it's, you're the leader, I am the servant, and, you know, as long as that is true, I will not challenge you for that belt. And we've never seen that, and that's an interesting story to tell, where Wyatt has this much sway over Randy. You know, that should make him a threat just for the sake of, whoa, of all people to kind of lose his balls over this, it's Orton?
True.
That makes it interesting. But I don't think there should be anything in between those points where that gets interfered with. I don't think the title that's on the line in that match, I don't think should be fucked with between Royal Rumble and Mania.
Okay.
You know, I think as soon as that last elimination's out, you should know exactly what your WrestleMania main event is.
So then the Universal title can just be Hot Potato.
If you want to, yeah, but that's where you have an event there, you know, in between the two. You know, gotcha. So, you know, in this case, okay, Randy Orton wins the Rumble. He's going on to face Bray Wyatt. And then, you know, a month later, maybe a little bit more than a month, just to spread it out, you have, you know, like you have something like Elimination Chamber for Raw or something where they can establish their own champion or their own number one contender for their belt. You know, maybe you have a special event, but you keep the consequences low. Maybe that's where you establish your mid-card for Mania.
Mm-hmm.
But the big matches, the big championships need that big build up, that big, that drawn out story to make it seem like it's a big deal when it finally happens. Like, you want that anticipation to build up. You want people to be intrigued and interested in that match. And when you just kind of throw it together with the last pay-per-view before Mania, it just doesn't have the gravity that it needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know, that's me. I've been saying it for years.
No. It's fine. Understandable. It's understandable.
Yeah.
There is a reason why I initially brought this up in discussion, and for the life of me, I can't remember why.
Don't look at me.
I mentioned it to you, and I get, you know, I just said, it's been 3 weeks, goddammit, and I've been sick, so I don't remember.
Okay.
But I had what I thought was a valid argument for it. Mm-hmm. That said, yeah, I understand, you know, we separate the big four with all these random, brand specific, but you move Chamber, you move Fastlane, or whatever you want to call it, from 1 year to the next, and you use both of those to lead up to the Rumble. You use those to set up the Rumble, which sets up WrestleMania. And it's just that one little blip on your calendar that goes off script, or would go off script. And it would, in my opinion, with everything that all fans have figured out between then and WrestleMania, it would throw a wrench into the thinking of a lot of people. And it would make it seem a little more easy to swerve or potentially swerve the fans. And you have that oh my god moment without throwing it out there just for the sake of having it there, which WWE is notorious for with almost everything they do. Oh, let's do something stupid just because it'll shock people. Mm-hmm. And we have all bitched and complained about something that WWE has done just for the sake of having that oh my god moment that the fans, oh, we didn't expect this. You shouldn't expect this because it was stupid. And it was only done because you didn't expect it. You could make things feel pure, you know, more pure, less set up. Because after the fact, all of the shit that, you know, they throw at you, that just for the sake of throwing at you, feels completely set up after the fact. You can avoid that by doing it this way. Have the two brand specific pay-per-views set up Rumble instead of setting up Mania. Because Rumble, like you said, road to WrestleMania. Okay, well, make the Royal Rumble the final stop on the road to WrestleMania.
Right.
And that's very close to my original thinking as to why this would work. It's just something that I have, you know, it's lost now, unfortunately, because I didn't make a note.
No, I just looked back in our conversation. You didn't mention anything.
Okay, I didn't mention it to you, but I had it. I did have a reason in the back of my mind. I should have mentioned it. Anyway, yeah, I'm just thinking it might be a neat way to go.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Break time?
Do you want to do a break, or shall we just get to the preview?
Honestly, since we're on this whole mindset, let's go. Let's just go.
We're going to break, so you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to do Fastlane, right, Tim?
Why are we going to break?
So we're going to break.
Well, why?
Because I got commercials I got to play.
Well, I got to play commercials. Hey, my name's Rock. I want to play commercials and call CM Punk during the break.
We'll be right back, guys, on the WTR Sunday.
Don't go anywhere. Fastlane preview coming up after this.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Which series has the greatest character of all time? CB Radio decides.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday nights midnight and Eastern live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's your Pope Elijah Burke. Please understand that you're listening to one of the coolest, one of the best, one of the baddest radio stations in all of America, Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah. Okay.
I be in my zone. I got this, I'ma do it all alone. I don't need your help, I do it on my own. I got this, cause I be in my zone. Somebody watch this, I got this. Man, everybody watch this, I got this. Man, somebody watch this, I got this. Man, everybody watch this.
Well, you know, if you hit the little mute control on the microphone icon on the Skype machine, you can actually say, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, And I was a little bit late to bringing this in because I had to run to the fridge to grab a nice cold one because I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm not recovered yet from being really, really sick and having a fever of 160 for 3.5 days.
Days?
Yeah, on time.
And he fucked with measurement up in Canada. I didn't know it was with temperature, too.
And, well, you know, like, Celsius is hotter than Fahrenheit, so think about it. If I said 160 Celsius, you'd be going, oh my god, he's melting! Or something. But I had to get something ice cold from my throat because it's getting a little scratchy. But I tell you, having a fever of 175 for as long as I have, like 4 weeks, is just incredibly hot.
He's really doing it. He's really Hoganing this.
So, anyway.
I can't wait till the final plugs. Anyway, let's get into Fastlane. Which
I'm worried he's going to say something we have to boot him off the network for.
What? Who? Somebody's going to say something? What? Me? Never.
Comment. Let's just get into Fastlane live next Sunday on the WWE Network. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches announced, possible 6 matches. We kind of know what's going to happen on the show, so let's start with the Royal
Tag. That's the other thing. That's the other reason. Having these two after Royal Rumble, you kind of like, oh, well, we know what's going to happen. Fuck it.
I mean, we kind of have an idea what the match on the show is going to be. Anyway, Royal Tag
Team. But, you know, I just be bitching.
Royal Tag Team titles online. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson defend against Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Mike, who you got? Awesome. Oh, my God. Who you got? This feels like Saturday. Oh, my God. Who you got?
Gallows and Anderson.
How come?
There's something about Cass and Enzo that, I mean, I love the guys, but at the same time, there's something about them that doesn't feel ready for the title straps. It might have to do with things like Enzo missing, getting tossed over the rope, so he vaults himself over the rope and pretends like that's, like, actually how it happened. But for whatever reason, it's like, I don't really see them as champs just yet. I feel like, especially with the back and forth booking they had on the club, they need to hold on to the belts for a little bit. At least till Mania, so they have some kind of credibility as champions.
We'll try Mike again, Mike.
Mike must have gone pee.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. That button that Tim had a problem with?
Oh, my God.
With? Yeah, that.
Oh, did I forget to click yours too, Mike?
Yeah, you did. You did. Well, so we're gonna,
210 degrees.
Absolutely. So what's about to happen is I'm going to go ahead and pick the guys that should get it. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. It's too early.
Random thing picker. Who you got?
Random thing picker loves Enzo Amore and Big Cass.
Does Tim?
Tim says Enzo Amore and Big Cass, even if they were ready to hold the title, now is not the time to give them the belts. First off, they don't fucking need it. They're way over without it. And traditionally, the belt is used to get the person over who's holding it. And the more popular person is the one chasing it. Traditionally speaking, these guys are absolutely perfectly placed right now. And they don't need gold. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
I think that was Gallows. Okay.
I said goes.
Okay. Raw women's titles on the line. Bayley defends against Charlotte. Oh my god.
This is a weird one.
This is a thing.
They've been hot dogging that championship between all of the women so much that you don't want to say, oh, but it's Charlotte at a pay-per-view, so of course she's going to win it.
Hot potato.
Yeah. Doesn't work. Of course, we also know the rumored match for Mania for the Raw Women's title.
Not holding my breath.
Well, everything else has been pretty on point so far. So
I don't know who Taker's opponent. Not holding my breath.
Oh, you know who it is. You just don't want it to be.
Shut up.
Come on, say it. I dare you. Mm-mm. Jinx it by giving voice to it.
We got two train of thoughts here, though. There is, well, you could either save Charlotte finally losing on pay-per-view for Mania. That's one thing.
Yep.
But I'm not sure how all three women get back into the title picture, you know, to make it the fatal four-way of Mania. You know, if things go to plan.
That's a big if.
Because here's the thing. What's throwing a wrench into my thought here is Bayley's feud with Stephanie. Charlotte's just the main on-screen stuff. It's all the backstage stuff with her basically, Stephanie basically trying to turn her into another Daniel Bryan. You know,
so what you're telling me is, player. So what you're telling me is, if Stephanie gets her ass back in that ring, I'm not going to be upset about that.
No.
Not going to be upset about that.
No. There's a plot of logic going in my head to where if you're going to set up that fatal four-way, I could see it happening after Bayley beats Charlotte at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Because not only does that put Charlotte down a peg back to where the other two women are, that also pisses off Stephanie, who goes, okay, you want to be the champion? You take on all three.
There you go. That's your moment of truth, Bailey.
There's the thing. That is just about the most logical way of going about it.
Don't use that word.
I'm sorry.
That word talking WWE throws everything out the window.
Throws a big-ass monkey wrench.
Shock factor, goddamn.
No, but knowing that they are getting a lot of heat for how fast they're passing that belt around, I will go with Bailey.
It's a game of hot potato. My turn? Oh.
Apparently.
I know. I'm going to have to go with Omega. I'm going to have to go with Bailey.
Tim?
This is a tough one. It really is. Everybody bitched about the title when it was Sasha Charlotte. That's hard to say four times fast, but you get the idea. Are they stubborn enough to do it with Bailey Charlotte? Bailey Charlotte. Bailey Charlotte. Easier to say four times. I don't want to say stupid. I want to say stubborn. I can see them being stubborn enough to repeat the stupidity. And it's Charlotte's never been defeated at a pay-per-view. Well, wouldn't they hold off until WrestleMania and have that be the big moment? Right? I'm having a hard time picking this one, and I hate to say it, but they're going to do it. Charlotte's going to win.
Random thing picker?
Random thing picker agrees with me.
Just going to throw this out there. What if Nia just attacks both women during the match, and the match is a no contest? Just saying. Up next, Cruiserweight Championship is on the line, and Neville versus Jack Gallagher, Tim.
Very good. How long has Neville had the title for now?
Rumble.
Since Rumble. So he's held it forever in the world of Cruiserweights.
Yeah. Cruiserweights measure their championship reigns like dog years.
7-1. My head says Neville, but my heart says Gallagher. And so I'm going to go with my heart and say Gallagher.
Random thing picker says.
Gallagher.
Random Omega picker says.
Cheeseburger.
Go in the
corner. Not the wrestler. I'm just hungry.
Oh, I was about to say motherfucker.
Neville.
Stole his cheeseburger.
Being the king of cruiserweights leading up to Mania, he's got to be a credible threat to hold on to that belt.
Mike?
Same thing with Omega. Let's go with Neville, and Austin Aries pulls a fast one on us, and there goes Mania.
Which means I'll get points, finally, from Austin.
Maybe. Unless they save up for after WrestleMania.
Hey, my eye is ready. No. Shh, no, it's not.
In what will be the most historic 7-star classic, Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. Omega.
God, it's going to be Roman, isn't it?
That's the toss-up.
They're gonna make him look like a tank going into Mania against Taker. Or...
Shut up!
Or, if Taker materializes in Fastlane and just chokeslams the shit out of him.
He doesn't even need to do that. He just has to hit a button and hit a gong and, you know, Taker. The Taker magic.
So you know what? Considering the match has absolutely no build-up so far, I think I will actually go with Strowman.
Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. The winner is the number one contender for the Undertaker WrestleMania title.
Roman sucks. Let's go, Roman. Roman sucks.
That was a really creepy voice.
Super Tank Reigns or Cruiserweight Strowman?
I would take Cruiserweight Strowman every day which of the week.
Yeah, I know. We all would. Fuck. None of these bitches are giving me points. I'm going to go with Braun. Braun Strowman wins. Undertaker comes out and challenges him. Let's go.
Random thing picker says,
Braun Strowman!
Roman Reigns.
You say what, Tim?
I say, well, fuck, it's gonna suck anyway. Or it won't. I don't know. It all depends. Yeah, this
really?
Is, yeah.
Really, it all depends.
I'm standing right squarely on the top of that fence.
Sure you don't want to lean one way or the other on that one?
I'm trying not to, because there's a stiff breeze blowing, and it's coming from directly above me.
Just as they're promoting the movie Fences on the Oscars right now. Anyway.
Brilliant! It was not planned. It just happened.
It just really happened.
Fuck, God. Okay, I'll pick Roman Reigns. Somehow that leads to Undertaker.
Universal title. Kevin Owens and Goldberg.
Do we really have to talk about this? Because we already know what's going to happen.
All right, Mike, who you got?
I have Goldberg clean.
Random Thinker has...
Kevin Owens.
Tim Stein has...
Big case of I don't want to see Goldberg win the title.
But?
But that would give you so many points, Tim.
I know! Fuck! That's... God damn you, Bill.
Well, guess what? Bill Goldberg.
So what'd you pick, Tim?
Fuck.
Points.
I'm having a hard time seeing Goldberg versus Brock at WrestleMania for the title. I'm going to call this one a no contest because Brock comes out and fucks it up.
Do you really want that triple threat?
Do you really think having a match already lined up with Bill Goldberg, he would actually do something to make it not be for the title?
He mentioned on Monday Night Raw that he's okay with him getting the belt because it's more he can take away from Goldberg.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing is, it can't be triple threat because it's going to be Kevin Owens versus Jericho.
You know what could be hilarious if it's a fatal four-way and Jericho walks out as the real GOAT. Just saying.
I remember when GOAT was a bad thing.
The greatest of all time? Yeah.
From the GOAT to the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
And Goldberg is spelled with an E, not a U. Just pointing it out.
And from all we know, GOAT was always B+. So...
Yeah.
You can't be focused. You know, that's WrestleMania for next year.
Yeah, the hell with it, Goldberg. But it's not going to be a 2-minute match. It's going to go actually for Goldberg. It's going to be a really long match. It's going to be at least 5 minutes.
Then don't bang your head, Goldberg.
Yeah, give yourself a concussion before you come on out to the ring. Sure, I'm good with that.
Dumbass.
The fight will be like 10 minutes. The match will be like 2 if you can do the math correctly on that. Oh my god.
Fight, Owens, fight.
Goldberg in a minute 40.
Bam.
He drops Mike on that one. And the rumored match, Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn, Omega.
Joe? I'm sorry, Sammy. You have to die.
Mike.
Joe? Are you crazy?
I want the Joe's gonna kill you chance back.
Tim?
I want the Joe's gonna kill you chance back.
Random thing picker?
Sammy.
There you go. You can go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork later in the week when the final card is announced to leave your picks. So that means it's time for the all-time greatest.
Yeah.
Ah, wrong intro. That's
that's not the all-time greatest.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
So there you go. Yeah, they're right next to each other. It's like, oh, wrong button. Alright, so we're continuing.
Push that button instead!
We're continuing down the WCW portion of the bracket. So here we go.
He's American Man!
Omega, you're up first.
Yeah, there's always part of me that really liked Hogan's. We can't use real American, so here is a very similar song that's a little bit more contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear it as often. I'm going to assume that's Server Sting's theme.
The Man Called Sting, yeah.
Okay, I couldn't tell because every time she hit the word Sting, it sounded like she swallowed nails
or something.
No, it's not as catchy as American Made. It's the part where I say, like, yeah, that's the one I picked.
Yeah, I'm distracted by the Oscars. Mike.
Hulk Hogan. Sorry, that theme is catchy. I'm trying to find a mashup with that one and the real American.
All right, so you want with who?
Hogan.
Mike, you want with?
Hogan.
Tim, you go with?
I wasn't ever the hugest fan of Surfer Sting's intro. Really, I wasn't. Hogan's, this version, yeah, we didn't hear it as much as all of his other ones. It stayed fresher.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sting moves on that one. They just pulled a Steve Harvey. That's why.
Wait, hold it. How'd Sting move on if everybody's voting Hogan?
Or rather, Hogan.
That a girl.
I'm distracted. They came up and brought out one movie for the one best picture, and then they're like, no, it's the other one. Because Jimmy Kimmel's trying to avoid.
Are you really watching those damn Oscars?
I am watching those damn Oscars.
What's the next one?
Next one is this. So it's the NWO versus Ultimo Dragon. Mike.
Why is this even a thing? Just continue playing it.
No, keep, make a pick.
The New World Order.
That's one for NWO Omega.
Okay, let's see. One of the best made and most threatening theme songs to ever hit the PA system in a wrestling arena. Or generic Japanese music number 4.
So Zelda versus Road Rash.
You prick! Go suck all of the dicks. All of them.
All right,
not just a dick, but all the dicks!
NWO.
So Mega went with Ultimo Dragon. Tim!
Fuck off!
Tim.
Generic Japanese music. I like the way you said that. That was good, Omega. Because that could have been Ricky fucking Steamboat coming out, for all you know.
No, it's Ultimo Dragon's theme.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying, it could have been used for Ricky fucking Steamboat. It could have been something Mr. Fuji came out to. NWO is NWO, brother. That shit plays, you know, somebody's going to get taken to fuck over and sprayed with black paint.
All right, NWO moves on. Here we go. Hollywood Hogan versus Harlem Heat, Tim.
This one pisses me off because I'm a huge Jimi Hendrix fan. But I was a huge Harlem Heat fan. And when Harlem Heat's music it? I'm like, all right, we got Booker and C-Ray coming on Davey. Go kick somebody's asses Harlem style, brother. And I always look forward to their matches. And again, you know, Hollywood Hogan's theme is a Jimi Hendrix song that just, it pissed me off that he used it. And so I'm going with Harlem Heat.
Mike.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
No thanks.
Shut up. Oh shit, there, that means it's over. Okay, that's cool. Fuck. Hulk Hogan.
Omega.
I do love Voodoo Child.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a wrestling song. It's never going to be known as a wrestling song. It is always going to be known as a Jimi Hendrix great. You know, you can get away with, you know, if it suits, okay, fine. But there's always something really weird about Hollywood Hulk Hogan, leader of the NWO, coming out to music that wasn't the NWO. It just seemed awkward that you'd have this big menacing soundtrack that everyone else used, except for Hogan, who got Jimi Hendrix out of nowhere.
Leadership has its privileges. So
that said, I really like Harlem Heat's theme. I like it so much better when it doesn't have Booker's catchphrases thrown on top of it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
All right, so Harlem Heat moves on. Here we go. Next. All right, you have Lex Luger versus Disco Inferno Omega. Go.
God, it's so weird. These are two of the songs that identify WCW the most for me. It feels like every time I tune in to any show for WCW, I would hear these two themes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you pretty much did.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, but like these are the two that stand out in my mind. Like you'd have to play Eddie or Jericho's themes for me to remember what they sounded like. You know, there's, you know, even some that I wouldn't be able to peg off the top of my head, but those two are like forefront. Yeah, you know what? I will give this to Disco. You want to talk a song that suits the character? It's hard to get a song that matches better. And Guy was so into his gimmick, he made that work. Whereas Luger's is high energy, it's definitely a 90s sound, but it's also short and repetitive. It's a Lex Luger match. It is short and repetitive.
Mike?
Disco Inferno. Disco Inferno.
Tim?
I hate both of these. I really do. But that said, the cheesiness of Disco Fever wins because of what Omega said. It's so fucking fitting to Inferno, but it's also so fucking cheesy. It's cheesier than Luger's by a hair, and it wins by a hair.
And that closes out the bracket of WCW. Do we want two more, or do you want to go to top to bottom?
Just go to the end of it, because I got to go to bed.
Welcome to WTR Sunday Night, where Disco Inferno can get a win over Lex Luger.
Hell to the yeah, top to bottom time.
Probably.
It's time to rank the best.
Have you forgotten that I'm the best in the world at what I do? Huh?
And worst.
Shut your damn mouth! I'm the best wrestler alive today!
Wrestlers of the week. It's top to bottom.
So we dig in to top to bottom for those new to this. We close out the show ranking the top three wrestlers of the week and the bottom three wrestlers of the week. Since Tim was in a sleep coma for the majority of the week, he is not going to partake in this one.
A whole month.
Mike, who is your top three wrestlers of the week?
Top three wrestlers. Let's see. I'm going to have to stick with the Fat Boys. Kevin Owens. Bray, because he still has the title. And Colossus Ohno.
Oh my god, who are your top three wrestlers of the week?
Wait a second. Did you just call him Colossus Ohno?
Yes, because that motherfucker is tall as fuck.
Okay.
I know it's Colossus. It's Colossus Ohno.
Sure. Well, that's okay. He's going to change his name and his religion in about 3 weeks.
Oh, well.
Oh my god, top three.
God, this is where I'm going to hate this segment every single week because I never have the time to actually research this shit.
Yeah, you researched the porn name.
No, I didn't. That took me 5 minutes to come up with.
And that's all this should take.
Now, when I had to go back and actually look through, like, all this shit, I'm just trying to find results from Raw so I know, so I can remember the goddamn show.
By the way, Tim, it's great that you sent me audio beds, like, 8-9 years ago. They fit for this segment.
And you're actually, like, that's where that came from. I knew it.
I went into the audio beds folder you sent me and went, hey, this one's long enough.
How long did I make that goddamn thing?
This mix is a minute and 27 seconds.
Oh, shit. And all it is the bass riff. That was really hard to make, too.
Have we stalled enough yet, Omega?
You know, I will go with... I'll go with Owens.
Mm-hmm.
I will go with Bailey. And... you know what? I will give a nod to the Big Show for actually making Strowman look like a beast.
All right, Mike, bottom three.
Bottom three, I would have to say... Wow. Breeze Dango. Hate to say that. Breeze Dango.
Default.
Who else? Damn. Breeze Dango. Charlotte. I hate to say that. Charlotte and... SmackDown.
That's not an answer.
Okay, fine. The Miz.
Omega bottom three.
Fuck. It's really on my nerves. Yeah, it would give one to Breeze Dango, because... Fuck, I can't stand them at this point. Shit. This is harder to think up than it is the top three. You know what? I will also include Kalisto and Mojo Rawley. What the fuck were you doing in any kind of number one contendership match?
Alright, that's three, so there we go. That's top to bottom right here on WTR Sunday night.
That brings us to another end of this glorious program. Thank you for tuning in. It was appreciated.
What the fuck happened?
It's the 220 degree fever. It's kicking in.
350. It was hot, man. I tell you, I was able to bake pies.
Just left it out on the counter.
There you go. All right, everybody, don't forget tomorrow night, immediately following Raw's The Raw, immediately following show.
Yes, it is. The Raw Post Show live, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. This is where I'm going to say, hey, Tim, we have a show on Tuesdays now.
Yeah, what is this WTR Sims shit?
It's live at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. It's WTR Sims. The guys in the virtual realm. It's becoming a thing live. Tuesday night is 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow.
Hey, Thursday night, it's the multi-award-winning The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
We'll talk NXT, we'll talk SmackDown, and we'll preview WWE Fastlane. Thursday night's 10 p.m. Eastern, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, RackRadioShow.com, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, search Rack Radio Show.
Hey, aren't I fighting for the CB Radio title on Tuesday night?
You are challenging for the CB Radio title because the intern opened his mouth, and you don't have to defend your title.
So I'm not defending my title. I'm going after a second title.
That would be correct.
I'm that damn good. You know what? I think I'm going to wear a brand new jacket to the ring.
Okay.
Okay. Saturday nights are as close as they can get to midnight. Another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Insane, the program that will infect your soul, curb your spine, and keep the country from winning the war, CB Radio. Apologies, George.
Who's better, Batman or Superman? Which had the better character? We find out in the Greater the Great Debate. We'll have Say What. We'll have all the rest of the weird news you can possibly handle. It is CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight. It's CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, N.com, hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
Kane Kittens, if you win, you get to retain your title. It's not going to happen. I'm coming after you. And if you don't believe it, you'll be able to read all my trash talk on Twitter. Follow me at Flames Forums. Follow Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machine at Wild Talk Radio. That was really hard. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night. And check out Facebook pages. There's multiple ones. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like one, join the other.
At WTR Sunday Night on the Facebooks.
I said that. Oh, no, I didn't. I said the Twitter.
There you go. See, I was following up on the Facebooks. See?
So that's all there is to it, but you know, I think that Omega should be known as the plastic addict everywhere.
Well, I would be if I didn't already have a online name I went by.
Oh, you do? What is it? Tell me. I'll write it down.
Write it. At this point, you need to write it down.
I'm taking lessons from Donald Trump.
Ugh. Why? Don't. Ever. You can find me pretty much anywhere on the internet by the name TJ Omega, unless you're the Facebook type, in which case you'll have to look for TJ Reviews. But everywhere else, you can find me at TJ Omega over on Twitter. You can find me at TJOmega.org for a bunch of exclusive videos. And most notably, you can find me at YouTube, where TJ Omega is the home for so many freaking videos I've done to this point.
He has a lot of videos on his YouTube channel, so check him out, youtube.com/TJOmega, because he likes his people.
I love my people.
That's awesome. And did you know that you can follow Heartbreak Mike on Twitter?
You can?
Just ask him, he'll tell you.
Hey, Mike.
Absolutely, you can. You can
add me on. You were supposed to let him finish asking.
Well, sorry, guys, but yes, add me on the Twitter. It is the WTR Oreo. And then I have a thing. I have a project on Facebook. Look me up. It's called United Wrestling. So look me up on Facebook. It is called United Wrestling.
That's awesome. That said, programming note, we're on later next Sunday night because of the pay-per-view immediately following Fastlane. Tune in to find out what we thought of us. That's all I can tell you. Just do it, and we'll be happy that you did. Once again, immediately following the pay-per-view. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'm going to leave you with this little tidbit to think about. Ever since Donald Trump got elected president, Rosie O'Donnell has been nowhere to be seen. Think about it. Catch you next week.
WildTalkRadio.com.